dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers.
To the hackers and the crackers.
I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll sue you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISO? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack.
This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code, source codes, ISOs, RANs, SIPs, SIPs. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio. I am Stank Dog joining you this evening. And this evening being, of course, February 6th, 2007. See how I enunciate 6th? That's a tough word to say on the radio. You know, it sounds like you have a lisp when you say that. It is February 6th, 2007. That's 26-2007. And our co-host this evening is our good friend, the superstar of the show, and the inventor of the 24 Hours of Porn, Natus.
Yes, that's me. Up, Stank.
Sprung that one on you there, didn't I?
Yeah.
So, Natus.
Now put me on the spot.
And do we want to let everybody in on that end joke, or are we just going to go on with it?
No, let's let him hang.
Okay, we'll leave him hanging. I am still on my cherry Kool-Aid kick, so no sweet tea this week for me. But, actually, we should probably warn people up front that this episode is in danger of being cut short because there's some phone problems up there around you. Is that right?
That's correct. I don't know what the hell's going on exactly at this point, but it's been going on about 6 hours now that Verizon's been having some really big issues here. Cell phones and landlines were down for a while. I couldn't make any long-distance calls or local calls from either, but my cell phone's working again. Landline's still not working, though. The whole time, data connections still work with my cell phone, and I could receive calls. Landlines can receive calls, too, but for some reason, I can't make long-distance or local calls.
Now, your data, you're on EVDO, right?
Not here. We don't have EVDO.
Oh.
Lower version. But
wow. Sucks to be in Vermont.
What's that?
So it sucks to be in Vermont. I don't know how I could do without my EVDO.
Yeah, I know. Some places here have it, but not here where I'm living.
I do run into that a lot with all my travel and stuff for work. I end up in these remote places where I can't get any kind of high-speed connection at all anyway, so I feel you.
Yeah, I'd like to say that they'll have it here by the end of the year, end of 2007, but you never know. They might not.
Gotcha. I feel your pain. I'm laying a little microphone adjustment on the fly there because I'm not sure if it was picking us up very well, so we'll just do that in time as we continue on.
Okay.
You got any kind of housekeeping you want to talk about other than the phones down? Of course, this is Monday that the phones are down. We're recording this Monday, but it's actually streaming on the 6th. So it's no secret that we record usually a day or two before. Do not stream live yet, except on maybe a rare occasion, but that's neither here nor there. So any other housekeeping?
I just wanted to let people know that my radio show PBX and the toll-free diverter are back up.
Drop the docs, son. Drop them.
Word. Actually, I don't have the number for the diverter in front of me.
Dude, how do you
but
not?
The number, I'm trying to pull it up here on the forum. But the number for the radio show, PBX Now, is area code 218-339-8520. And I just updated it with the new shows last week, so it's a little outdated now.
All right, and for people who have no idea what you're talking about, your radio show, PBX, of course, allows them to...
It allows them to call in and listen to their favorite hacker radio show.
And
so
why?
There's shows on there like Default Radio, BinRev, RFA, what else is on there? PLA Radio.
And why would they want to dial in and do this when they got the interweb?
well, it doesn't make sense really to me if you're at your computer personally, but maybe they, I don't know, maybe you're just stuck somewhere random, and the only thing you have is your cell phone.
Yeah, and actually what I was going, I've heard people tell me that they've dialed in and listened to episodes while driving their car. They put their cell phone on speaker.
Yep.
And just sit there and listen to the shows while they're driving along.
Yep.
Especially if you're driving in some remote part of, oh, I don't know, West Texas that has no radio coverage. It's kind of nice to have something like that there. I'm just saying. Anyway, did you find your other number? Or?
It's right below here.
Well, while you look that up, I'll talk about it. I guess this isn't really so much housekeeping as more of the old-fashioned show and tell, which I won't go too much, but there's been a lot of good stuff to read. There's a lot of good reading material out there right now, so I wanted to kind of recommend some of it. First of all, Vaughn Magazine, the new issue of Vaughn Magazine came out.
I just got mine today in the mail, actually.
Yeah, normally I skim through this. I'll be honest, I don't usually read it unless there's an article or something in there that catches my eye, an interview with somebody specific, you know, like Mark Spencer or something I read. Well, this current one has an interview with Phil Zimmerman, and you know, actually, all right, I'll kind of take an aside here. You know, there's a small handful of people in the hacking scene, I guess if you want to call it that, or security scene, or I don't even know if he'd want to be called that, but there's a few people in, let's call it interweb history then, that I just have a lot of respect for, that they really changed the game. They really changed the internet as we know it. And one of those people is Phil Zimmerman, and inventing PGP, which was just a huge, I mean, it really changed the game. It really did. So I have nothing but the utmost respect for people like him. So there's a good interview with him in Vaughn Magazine, so I recommend anybody go out and pick that up if you're interested in that sort of thing.
Yeah, I actually got a new issue of Vaughn today, so that's actually the old issue now.
Oh, you just got a new one today? Really?
Yep, yeah,
wow.
Already.
Well, I guess I should be getting another one soon, too. I don't know when I got this. I've mentioned on the show before, I have so many magazine subscriptions that I come home from work, I throw them into a stack. So I know it's recent. It's the most recent one I have, so.
You know that you can download those. You can download full issues of Vaughn Magazine from their website.
Well, I did not know that, and that's something good for our listeners. So grab last month's Vaughn for Phil Zimmerman, and do they make the current issue available as well?
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's up there right now. But
you see, a lot of these magazines, especially these trade magazines, they'll put up their stuff online. Sometimes they'll only put up the previous issue because they still want you to. Because a lot of them still sell on the store shelves and they want you to go buy it. But they'll
they put up their most recent issue though.
Okay.
So I don't know if the new one's up yet. I'm trying to go to the website right now and check.
Cool. Well, and another, actually, there's so much I don't have time to mention all of it. Another interesting one I read was. It's called Baseline Magazine, Baseline. It's another trade magazine. It's one that I usually just skim through, but if they have an article that interests me, I might skim at, I might read it more thoroughly. And this issue had an article on MySpace, which caught my eye, especially for considering it's a trade magazine. What the hell are they talking about MySpace? But they were talking about basically in terms of scalability and how quickly it grew and how they handled it and stuff. So it was kind of interesting from that standpoint. And
yeah, they definitely handled it a lot better than Facebook, too. Or not Facebook, Friendster.
Yeah,
was a huge issue at the time.
Hmm. Well, it's one of those things that, like, things grow fast on the interweb. They really do.
Yeah.
They really do. I mean, hell, I don't know. We're facing growing pains recently. We're all well aware of that, so.
You have to be able to keep up with it, or otherwise you jeopardize yourself.
Yeah, and it's one thing if you're actually a company making money like they are, but it's even more another thing altogether when you're a schmuck like me trying to pay out of pocket, not thinking it's going to be like this. So, What can I tell you? I'm a putz. But the interesting thing, and I didn't know this about MySpace, but they are a Microsoft shop. They are powered by IIS, and all the database is powered by SQL Server 2005. Mm. So, thought that was kind of interesting and vulnerable. new 2600 came out within the past month, I think, so I've been catching up reading on that. I think I already mentioned this before, but shouts to Royal had a great article, a really good article actually in there, and Tokachu had an article in there, another member from our forums, and someone else. There were three, oh my gosh, now I'm probably leaving somebody out. But there were some articles in there from people from our forums, friends that we know or friends of friends. And there was some code in there again, so there was some good stuff this time. Looks like a decent issue. I haven't finished it yet, but so far it's not one of the worst so far. How about that? We'll word it that way.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed because I sent them another article, and I really wanted to have, like, back-to-back articles.
But see, they're so weird the way they do that. I mean, I sent them an article. I kid you not, Natus. I sent an article one time that they published 1 year later.
Yeah, so hopefully it'll be in the next issue.
Weird.
You never know.
I think maybe just some of them are like, maybe some of the articles are like borderline, and they only end up saving them if they need to fill one or two pages or something. They'll pull one. So, I don't know. I don't know how they make those determinations. What can I tell you? Let's see. Okay, you were going to look up the number. Did you find the number? I'm not stalling for you anymore.
No, yeah, I did. It's, alright, the number for the toll-free diverter is 218-339-8591.
Okay.
You can enter any toll-free number to call. And I just want to give out the URL for the Vaughn Magazine website, too, to read it online. It's vaughnmag-digital.com. It's not actually right on the Vaughn Mag site.
Oh, Vaughn Mag, vonmag-digital.com,
yep.
Cool. Good to know. So, do they have an RSS feed by chance?
Hold on, let me look.
That'd be interesting. Maybe we could put that in the forums if there's enough interest. I don't know. In our newsfeed section. But anyway, while...
it doesn't look like they do.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if we... Is it PDF-based or is it browsable text, HTML?
Not really either. It's like... it looks like it's a PDF. I don't know. You, like, go through it like a PDF. But it's not really a PDF.
Oh, well, I'm not going to go check it out during the show, so I guess our listeners can go do that for themselves if they are interested. Meanwhile, you and I are going to move into some email.
Mail@benred.com.
Okay, so email this week is fairly short because, as I mentioned on the last episode of the show, we were having some mail problems. that sounded pretty out of context. Yeah, not that kind of M-A-I-L problems, not M-A-L-E problems. At least myself. Natus, you having any man problems? Or?
Nope, not at this time.
Okay, so we are both clear. But mail server problems, As I mentioned last week, we switched servers. Well, the last casualty that I was having to deal with and debug was the mail. None of the mail accounts came over, so I did get them all recreated and tested, so they are working again. However, any mail that somebody might have sent while we were moving didn't know where to go. There was no mail server up and running on any of those IP addresses to receive it, so everything would have gotten bounced and lost completely. So if you did send an email in that time frame and we haven't read it on the air, I haven't gotten back to you through IRC or something else, then you probably want to resend it. But that being said, we look like we are back up and running now. Also, in case there's... I should have mentioned this earlier, maybe in the housekeeping, but if there's any of you... adventurous hacksaws who think you got a hold of the password hash while we were having all those problems or looking that up in the PHP file, those, of course, have been changed as well, so don't waste your time. All right, let's see here. First email this week comes from Vegeta, which is a Dragon Ball Z reference, I think. Vegeta says, "Dear Stank or other host and co-host, I think that covers all the bases. So, dear Stank and Natus, I wanted to take the time to tell you something about Windows Vista's speech recognition engine." Are you using the Vista yet there, Natus?
I had it on a test computer at my house, and it was like the RC copy.
Mm-hmm.
So it expired after 30 or 60 days, something like that. So, no, I don't have Vista.
But you tried it for a little bit?
Yeah, I wasn't impressed at all. I don't really like it.
Yeah, liked it the first time when it was called OS X. But anyway, let's see. When I heard that Windows Vista had finally been released, I was curious to see its new features. So I went online and visited Microsoft.com to see it for myself. But one in particular caught my attention. I guess one thing in particular caught my attention. It was the speech recognition system. Now, Microsoft states that the system is one of a kind, but seeing the awful mistakes it makes when it comes to dictating, I knew that they have copied the idea from somewhere, so I started browsing the web to find... But I started browsing the web to find the source program. I'm stumbling over words here today, and I'm adjusting the microphone again because it's something seems to have shifted. I started browsing the web to find the source program. Don't get me wrong, this is pretty good when it comes to controlling the computer by talking, such as, quote, double-click computer, or, quote, open notepad. But when it comes to dictating, it performs poorly. And if I had it on my system and was reading this email, I wonder if it would be double-clicking the computer and open notepad. Anyway, that's because when controlling the computer, the system knows that it only has to listen for a few commands, such as double-click that, delete that. Then I found this. And he gives a URL to nuance.com, that's nuance.com/talk, T-A-L-K. It's called Dragon Naturally Speaking, and it's the best software in the business. I found that there were similarities between Microsoft Windows speech recognition and Dragon Naturally Speaking, such as spelling a word or correcting a mistake by choosing from a drop-down menu. And since Dragon Naturally Speaking, I'm going to call that DNS from now on. No, I guess I better not confuse people. I'll just call it Dragon. Since Dragon Naturally Speaking is at version 9, and Windows Vista is fresh off the market, you can clearly see who copied whom. Now, in that demo, the guy is speaking very fast, but the system recognizes almost everything. I wouldn't be surprised if Microsoft tried to buy the company, because that's their way of dealing with things. When they can't create a competitive program, they try to buy another company that does. As for the operating system itself, it's eating up too many resources and doing nothing to show for it, I guess. Apart from the cool eye candy and the 3D view, Windows Vista is a bust. I'm sorry for buying that software. They keep bragging about security, but I don't feel more secure. I get the same amount of viruses I got before in my licensed version of Windows XP. If you find this information interesting, please read it on the show. Well, we did. Oh, and by the way, I wrote this entire message using Dragon Naturally Speaking with only a few mistakes, and I only have version 8. Imagine what version 9 could do. I'm not trying to advertise this program. Yes, you are. I'm not even from the United States. I'm only trying to state the fact that Microsoft sucks big time, and when people start complaining and when shit hits the fan, they steal other ideas and take them for their own. So, Mr. Bill Gates, thank you for that license key, and thank you for making Vista so foolproof, I think. But you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Wait a minute. Hold on. I didn't end that with the proper gusto. Let me go back again. Bill Gates, thank you for that license key, and thank you for making Vista so foolproof. But you can go fuck yourself. Did that sound more
better?
Is that more convincing that way?
Fuck yeah.
All right. So. All right, let me back up a little bit here. I did do a Vista Mini review. I've been using it for a few months now, the final release, the gold, whatever, from a month and a half, however long, before Christmas. So there are some things about it that I like. There's some things I dislike. I'm learning a little bit more as I go along each day, practically. I'm not using it on my daily, everyday computer, but I have been playing around with it. So, yeah, it's got some issues here and there, and it's certainly... It really is very OS X-like. It really is. It copied a lot of stuff. It's pretty obvious.
They didn't copy it well, though. That's the thing.
Well, they copied some of the concepts, I guess. And some of the eye candy.
Yeah.
That's really what they focused on. It seems like the biggest improvements was in the eye candy side of things, making it look prettier. And frankly, dumbing it down. I really feel like that I'm using a... What was that old Microsoft Bob? Like where they dumbed it all down, trying to make a metaphor of a desk. Then, like if you're too dumb to go to Start Notepad, they put a picture of a notepad on the desk. That's what it feels like trying to use some of this stuff. It's like all these menus and submenus that have different related topics in it, like putting all your games into one menu. I guess it's kind of cool if you're a gamer, but to me it's like, look, I'm not retarded. I can find the fucking game from the start menu if I want to play it, you know? But
yeah,
it's got a bunch of gaming things in there, like you can control for based on the rating who you want to play it or not, and I don't know, I think you can tweak some other configurations with them. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I'm not a gamer. But anyway,
I've never hated Microsoft until now.
Do you really hate Microsoft? Why? You didn't even hardly use it.
Well, I know, but I really, really didn't like it.
I don't know. I'm going to give it time, let it grow on me. I mean,
and I don't like IE7 either, so that really pissed me off.
Well, the thing about IE7 is somehow it, well, I guess it's typical Microsoft. It's very bloated and slow for me. I mean, opening up a new tab,
it's really slow.
So horribly, horribly slow. Even if it's a blank tab.
The tab implementation, the way they did it too, I think sucked.
Well, one thing I do like that they had in the early betas, I think before, and I don't remember if Firefox has this or not. I think it does now, but at the time they didn't. That is the ability to, on launch, load multiple tabs as start pages. So if you wanted to have four different home pages, you could have four tabs start up automatically. Now, I don't really know many people that would need that, but I thought it was kind of a nice feature.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Thanks for that.
But the other thing I don't like about it is I can't find... sometimes I just want to go to click on File, Save As. That's it. Now, where's the fucking File, Save As? You move some shit over here, you move some shit over there. I don't even know where any of the utility stuff is anymore. They moved all that shit around.
Yeah, I really don't like
that's
that
either. Fucking ridiculous. And the same thing while I'm on this fucking soapbox, what pisses me off also is fucking Windows Media Player 27 or whatever the fuck that's up to. I can't do that either. I can't go to File, Save. I can't go to look at a tag. I can't. It's like, do you want to add this to the library? No, fuck the library. I want to see the file. How big is it? How long is the file? Who owns the file? What the fuck is the file name? I don't give a... Don't add it to my library. No, don't burn it to a fucking CD. Don't rip that shit. Just tell me about the fucking file. Why is that so fucking hard?
Have you seen the newest version of Office?
Yeah, I've been using that for a little while, too. Actually, I've hardly used that. I installed it at the same time. And I've only used it once or twice, to be honest, but I've had it. I just haven't had time to play around with it too much.
I heard that they move the menus around, too, like they did with Internet
Explorer. Oh, man. Well, you know what, though? On that one, it might not bother me as much because I will use the keyboard shortcuts more than anything. So as long as they haven't changed those. If they change those, I'm stomping somebody's balls.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That would really suck. But the thing that I really don't like about Vista, I don't know what you think about this, but, I mean, every time you go to change something... By default, it comes up with that security, like, do you want to change the date and time? Are you sure you want to do that?
Right,
comes
right.
Comes up with that thing.
Yeah, they cut down on that in the final release. It doesn't happen as often as it did with me in the beta version.
Oh, really? They did change
but
that
it's
a little bit?
A little bit, but it still happens right. A lot. Anything that does any kind of system changes or whatever, it will warn you. But also, don't get that mixed up with a separate type of warning. If you ever try to run anything through Internet Explorer or anything like that, it's also going to pop up a security dialog box.
Oh, yeah, and then that stupid anti-phishing thing that you, like, can't turn off with IE7, that is so annoying.
You can't
like,
turn that
the
off?
The company that I work for, when
no,
I
you can turn
that
off.
Website, it comes up, and it has nothing, it's like, it's related to demolition and construction. It tells me that. It might be a phishing site.
Well, that's, I could swear you could turn that off somewhere.
I turn it off, but it still pops up.
Well, then it's not turned off then, is it?
Apparently not.
I guess not. Anyway, all that being said, I didn't even realize or try any of the audio control, whatever the hell you talk it, the speech recognition stuff at all. I didn't even realize there was any. I didn't think about it. I've got Ultimate Edition, Ultimate Version, whatever the hell it's called, the X-Men version, that has all the full powers and everything, and I didn't even realize I was there. I might go try it now that I got this email and told me about it.
Yeah, however, I saw that it was there, but I didn't have a microphone on my computer or anything like that to go try it.
Yeah, and I don't either, but I can install one easily enough. But the other thing, though, is, and back to this email specifically with the talking about the speech recognition, I did use Dragon Naturally Speaking a long time ago. It's probably version 1 Back at a university I used to attend, we had it in the labs, and I played with it a little bit back then, and I thought it was, I mean, it made mistakes, but yeah, I thought it was fairly accurate, and I could really swear that I used a later version of it, 6 maybe, and it still made the same mistakes, or not the same mistakes, it still made as many mistakes, it seemed like. I didn't see that there was any big improvement between early versions and later versions. I mean, I think you said something about imagine what 9 could do. You're using 8 right now. I really don't know. Maybe I just don't have as much experience with them, but I never saw that big of a difference between one versus the other. I thought it was all about training them so that they recognize your voice and your speech patterns and your slurs. So if you've got a lisp for a speech impediment or something like that, it actually can learn that and start associating that sound with a different letter or a different group of letters or sound that it's expecting and actually grow and adapt with it. So I thought you just have to train it to make it more accurate. But I don't know how many breakthroughs or how much change there is in the algorithms themselves. Have you ever used any kind of speech recognition stuff?
Have I?
Yeah.
I don't think I have. I want to say maybe back in high school, like we tried something out for one of my typing classes or something like that.
Yeah.
That was a while ago.
I mean, it might be nice. Yeah. I mean, what am I, Stephen Hawking or something here? I don't know. It might be nice if I wanted to, like, dictate an article. I might try that. Maybe I'll do that as an experiment for an upcoming article. I'll actually try to dictate the entire thing through Dragon or Vista or whatever I can dig up and see if I can't make it through an entire article without getting completely frustrated and punching the monitor. Anyway, next email this week, and our last email for this week, comes from our good longtime friend, Livin' Dead. Livin' Dead says, "Hello, BenRev hosts. Savant mentioned the GPG plugin for Thunderbird, though did not mention the name. I'm assuming he meant Enigmail, which is at enigmail.mozdev.org. Now that's enigmail.mozdev.org. I should have tiny URL'd it, but I'm lazy. Which I have been using for a while now and have found it to work nicely. Comes with a nice GUI to create and manage your public private keys and will even submit them to public key servers. As far as encrypted partitions, I found that TrueCrypt does a great job. It's cross-platform, working on Linux and Windows, and you can even move a Windows partition or a Linux box or vice versa. If you haven't seen TrueCrypt yet, you can go over to TrueCrypt.org and grab a copy for whichever operating system you are using. Basically, it just creates a file that is the size you specify and then builds an encrypted file system on it, allowing you to mount it through the TrueCrypt program." So, thank you, Livin' Dead. Yes, I know that we've talked about TrueCrypt, Q-tip. That's a whole different genre of show, isn't it?
Yeah.
On a war tour with Muhammad, my man. Anyway, talk about TrueCrypt on many previous episodes. Enigmail sounds familiar, but I've never used it before. I'm actually started downloading it from this email. I actually went out there and started downloading it because I would like something to start using more regularly. But it relies on GPG, obviously. And I'm in the process of installing it on the other box over there. But again, my statement that I made and I still hold to is that it's not ready for your common everyday user to install. Installing and configuring GPG by itself without a GUI is just, I mean, it'll install, but it's still a command line application. Until they make it so that it's clickable, that it's all GUI, it's easily set up, I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's just still kind of cumbersome. It's GPG itself, not so much that Enigmail plugin. But once you get it up and running, maybe the Enigmail plugin will automate and make it a lot easier. And I'll, like I said, I'll install that soon because I do want that and try it myself. But it's just the concept. I mean, all this, everybody, you know, most of us in the Linux world and hackers, we're comfortable on the command line. I've just been saying all along that it should be much easier to set up and create your keys and stuff, everything through a GUI. You don't have to get on any command line or memorize switches and stuff like that. I'm never going to be able to convince my father or somebody to do that until they make everything nice and shiny and clickable. And I do think it's possible. I think it's doable. It's just that no one's done it yet. But that's just me. Have anything to add to that, Mr. Natus?
Nope.
Did you know that Natus is Satan spelled backwards?
Did know that.
Oh, really? Surprise. All right, well, Mr. Natus, why don't we move into the main show topic for this week, which is how to make money on the global interweb. Your specialty, right?
I'd like to think so.
Oh, somewhat related to our, not really related, but timely, I guess I should say, with our server woes and talking about how we might have to do some advertising, banner ads, or something along those lines, see what we come up with.
Yep.
So, that even besides that, first of all, let's give a little backstory because some credibility to both of us that we've done a lot of homework and a lot of research on this. I'm not going to go and rehash some of the stuff I've done in the past, like I presented on Google AdWords at DEF CON, and we did that on an episode or two, at least, of that on the radio show a couple of seasons ago. So we're not going to go back and focus on that specifically or any of the nuances of the individual services. We're going to talk in some detail about how they work and why they work the way they do, but not so much from a exploiting side of things, more of a competitive side of things and how they would work if you actually wanted to try to make money off of them. So internet advertising in general, which is for the most part focusing on banner ads. Now, there is some basic terminology we should probably lay down up front. If we miss anything, we'll define it as we go along. We'll try to be careful about that. But there are a few basic terms, and that is fill in any if I miss any here that you think should be added. But a couple of the most basic terms are PPC, which is pay-per-click, which is pretty self-explanatory, right? Every time you click on an ad, or I guess rather from the other side, if every time somebody clicks on one of your ads, you are either going to receive money from it if you are on the site feeding out ads, or you're going to get charged money for it if you're the one doing the advertising. Did that make sense at all? Did that come out right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, pay-per-click system means that you only get charged and you only have to pay if somebody does click on your ad.
Yep.
And now if you're on the content site serving up the ad, you'll make a percentage of that sale. So if it costs, I don't know, 10 cents, you're willing to pay 10 cents for every click, or the advertiser's paying 10 cents for their ad to go up and get clicked on, and you run that website, the way these companies, and I'm going to be vague with that, the way these companies make money is that out of that 10 cents that the advertiser is ponying up, they're going to keep a cut of it, and they're going to give you a cut of it. Well, because they control the media at this point, there's not a whole lot of competition at this point, Google, they keep the majority of the money. They'll give you maybe a penny out of that 10 cents. They'll keep the other 9 cents. So I'm going to try anyway to stay off the Google soapbox here, but that's why Google stock is $400-something a share, because they have a corner on that market, at least as of last week. This week things may have changed. But back to terminology, there's also... Now, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Natus, because it always confused me at first. It's CPM, which is not cost per million, actually. It's cost per thousand.
Right, cost per thousand impressions.
And that, yeah, so that means even if nobody clicks on your ad, every time it gets served up, counted by how many hits on their server, how many times it gets served up to somebody, you get charged for every thousand impressions is another term. Every impressions, every time they get ads served up to somebody, every time it hits 1,000, you'll pay whatever you've agreed to pay to get that advertising. So if I wanted to advertise BenRev.com and I'm willing to pay $1 for every 1,000, then every time that thing, if it serves up 5,000 of them in a day, I get charged $5.
Yep.
And that's regardless. Now, is that... Are those two things mutually exclusive, Natus? Do you pay one or the other? Or will you pay so much per 1,000, and then if somebody clicks on any of them, you have to pay the 10 cents in addition? Or is it usually one or the other?
No, it's just CPM. So it's, you don't pay per click either. It's just, if you're going with a CPM model, and it's just you pay per 1,000 impressions, you don't have to pay for 1,000 impressions either. You could pay, I mean, you don't have to do 1,000 impressions. You could do maybe like 500 or 100. It would divide it out by whatever you're willing to pay by for 1,000, you know?
Gotcha. Yeah, it'll prorate it. So
yeah.
If you have a cost per 1,000 method or just an impressions scale and you served it to 1,000 people and all 1,000 of them clicked on it, you're still only paying that same $1 or whatever you agreed upon.
Right, you'd be getting a lot more for your money.
Yeah, and it's an old advertising adage too, that, and this is kind of breaking off of specifically banner ads, but advertising in general, I know everybody's probably heard the word product placement, you know, getting your product in a movie or in a background scene in a commercial, some kind of subliminal advertising or viral marketing you might hear kind of nowadays, just getting the eyeballs on it, getting those impressions is actually a very powerful and useful advertising technique in general. So even if you don't generate any click-throughs, you're getting a lot of publicity, you're getting a lot of eyeballs seeing that site of yours, even if they don't necessarily click on it. You're planting the seed in their head, and I know, as a matter of fact, you know what, Decoder even told me this one time, he was looking for an ad somewhere that he had seen before. It had stuck in his head, it was not something he was interested in, and then he calls and he's like, do you remember that one place, that one site, that one ad we saw, because I didn't need that back then. But here I am 2 months later, and I need that service or what. I don't remember what it was, unfortunately, the exact ad he was looking for. But here it was a couple months later. The ad wasn't even running anymore, but he remembered it. It's planted, and it subliminally gets stuck in your head. So sometimes you want to just push up. I prefer that method myself, mostly because I find it cheaper. And, you know, you get those eyeballs, you get those impressions and stuff. Another term to talk about, an important term, is your click-through ratio, which is out of those 1,000 ads, or however many ads you've got, you divide how many people actually clicked on it. And that is closely related to, and there's different terms for this, but we're going to just, I guess, quality score, quality rating, is that good enough, Natas, you think? Some sort of quality that, like, your ad gets clicked on 0.05% of the, or 0.5% of the time. Out of every...
Right, that's click-through ratio, and then quality score is kind of another completely separate thing. Quality score is
explain
how the
quality.
Search engine... basically, it's just the quality. It's the quality of your ad text, your ad, the relevancy of the page that you're sending to, and everything in regards to the ad that you're serving.
So
how good of an ad your ad is, basically.
So it's kind of, if I understood it correctly, the way I've always thought about it anyway, and I admit that's why I'm going to Natas for this one, because I'm not positive. I always understood it to be the click-through ratio as it performs to certain keywords that are searched on. So if somebody does a search for, I don't know, say hacking, for example, and they find ads to BinRev, maybe I get better performance, better click-through ratio, as opposed to when people search for security and BinRev ad comes up, they might not click on it as much. They might not be as interested in it, so it would have a lower click-through ratio, therefore a lower quality score in terms of that keyword. Is that not correct at all? Am I way off there?
No, that's correct. You're right.
Okay.
It has a lot to do with your ads and everything, specifically what keywords you're putting in your ads and what keywords are on your would be on BinRev.com if you were serving a BinRev ad.
Yeah, and keep that concept and that idea in mind, because we're going to come back to that a little bit later. It's very important in the way most of these new advertising services are working. It's very important, those quality scores and how they determine which ads to serve up based on which keywords. I guess this would be a good time to go ahead and kind of go into Google, which both you and I, as I laugh into the microphone, which both you and I have been banzored from.
I'm not finding it funny anymore, though.
Not only banned, I'm completely blackballed. I'm completely blacklisted. I'm surprised they didn't cancel my actual Google account at this point, because I've tried 6 ways till Sunday to create a new account with different methods and identifications, and they always seem to figure them out.
Yeah,
I mean, I still have a couple
60
things.
6 ways to Sunday.
What's that?
If you've tried 6 ways to Sunday, I've tried 60.
Really? I was getting ready to say, I think there's a couple other things I could probably try that seem like they would work, but I don't want it that bad. Fuck Google.
I've tried about 5 times in the past month to get an account.
Man.
I want one that bad.
They do not like... Well, we're going to talk about this later. I don't want to endorse anyone specifically, but we'll be honest about our findings and results with some of them, I think. But I don't want one. And I guess we'll come back to that later. I guess we'll come back and address that later.
Okay.
But first of all, we have Google. Now, there are two parts to the Google advertising system, for lack of a better word, I guess. There's AdWords, then there's AdSense. Now, Natas, explain the two sides of the... I kind of alluded to it earlier, but kind of clarify the two sides of the system.
Yep. Okay, AdSense is when you put ads on your website and you're making money off people clicking your ads. And AdWords is what allows you to place ads for your site that you run on in Google search results, you know, on the right-hand side or at the top, and also on sites that serve AdSense ads. Your ads would appear to people, and people would be visiting your website if you were in the AdWords campaign.
And with Google AdWords, it is set up to use either of those two methods that we described earlier. They've added the cost per thousand later on into the program. It was not there in the beginning. It was just pay-per-click. But
right. There's
kind of some controversy with pay-per-click about what validates a legitimate click-through and, you know, click fraud comes into play.
Right, and you can specify that you only want to be in, like, search results or you only want to be on the content network.
Yep, they did add some flexibility with that.
Yep.
And it's also important to say that you can be on both sides of that. You can have AdWords and AdSense. There's certainly nothing wrong with that.
Right, like talking about us, when we say we've been banned, we mean that our AdSense accounts have been banned, where we earn money for people clicking on ads on our site.
Right, but if
I know you don't have an AdWords account, but I do. I have one that I use for advertising a lot of my sites across the internet.
I actually do have an AdWords account.
Oh, okay, you don't have to really use it though.
They will gladly take your money. They just won't let you make any more money.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's really true.
Yeah,
yeah, of course you have an AdWords account. You did that whole...
Yeah. The AdWords... And yeah, they have severely crippled my AdWords account. They've limited what I can do with it, but I don't think that one is so much singling me out anymore. It was at the time. They were, like, watching my stuff on a daily basis, and if I tried to pull anything... Because what I did is... And I don't... Again, you go back and listen to the old episodes, but I even put up a special message for DEF CON attendees, a special keyword they could search on that weekend only that they could go through and find the ad. And, of course, that was down by the time I got back from the weekend saying, you are not allowed to have this ad. So they were watching me pretty closely. But that being said, they'll take my money. They don't have a problem taking my money. Google do no evil, my ass. Darn it, I'm supposed to stay off the soapbox. Anyway, you can try to create more AdSense accounts, which is kind of what we were alluding to earlier, but they have me blackballed. They don't want me to make any money. But what I didn't like about it, Nat, I don't know if this happened to you, Natas, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. I don't know how much information you want to drop here, but what made me mad about it was I had the things up and running. Well, they waited, because, and my thing is, I was only doing it for the research and to see how it worked. I wasn't plastering them all over BenRev. I've been trying to avoid that all these years. Don't know how much longer that's going to last, but I just put them up to see how they work. I threw them up over on the blog and some other sites just to see how the whole system worked. And they waited for 3 or 4 months until I actually finally made enough money, which I want to say at the time was fairly low, $20 or $30 you have to make that much within that, not within that, to get the quarterly payout, you had to have at least $20 or $30 worth of value. This was a couple years ago. And
yeah,
if you
now
had
I think it's 100.
Is that what it, oh man, see I know it was lower back then.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I know that's what Yahoo's is. I know that's what pretty much the standard.
Yeah, it is now.
How it is now.
Yeah, it definitely is now. Back then it was about $20 or $30, and it was payoff time, and, well, I think it, okay, don't hold me to that. I won't say I know it was. I think it was only 20, 30, maybe it was 50. It was something lower, it seems like, because we didn't make $100. I don't ever think it ever got close to that. But right when it came payoff time or quarterly renewal or whatever they want to call it, that's when they decided to ban me. It's like, listen, you guys had to have known a long time ago that you didn't want me to have ads. You could have stopped this months ago. But what they did is they let the ads keep going. take advantage of the free advertising, knowing full damn good and well that they were not going to ever pay me, but why not use me for a couple more months to serve up ads for them? And I don't necessarily say that lightly or out of spite per se, because a lot of people on the global interweb had the same thing happen to them in the exact same way. So I don't know if you fall into that boat or if you want to admit it or anything, but that's the way it went down with me, and I didn't particularly care for that very much.
Yeah, that's not the way it went down for me. I was making enough to get paid every month. There was definitely some click fraud going on my site.
Well, and that's the other thing. To be honest, I really wasn't doing any kind of weird click fraud stuff with it. I swear to God, I honestly was not. But that is what they accused me of. And this, once again, several people across the interweb were having that same problem. Their accounts just canceled for no reason. And there's no debating, arguing. You cannot contact them and say, hey, show me some evidence. What do you mean click fraud? I have no idea. I really have no idea what they're talking about. I really didn't do anything like that. It makes me want to now. Of course, I wouldn't do that because that would be wrong. But at the time, I'm like, what in the hell? How do you do this? How do you just take advantage and run this into the ground? And anyway, I digress. We will back off of that for a little bit and say simply that they have dominated the market. I think that's a safe thing to say for the last, I don't know, 2 years? Longer?
Three.
Yeah, longer?
Yeah, I'd say three.
And they were pretty much the only dog in the fight. You know, they were the only ones out there on any kind of large scale, and that's when Google became multi-bajillionaires, is when they went public and all those profits were coming in. They made mad money off of that stuff. The stock to this day is still ridiculous.
Yeah. There were definitely other players out there, but it definitely, like you said, it wasn't on a large scale like
right.
Google.
No, they definitely had that. It's a lot of success on the internet is simply based on timing. Isn't that right, Mr. Calacanis? You have to be at the right place in the right time, and I think that's never truer than it is today on the global interweb. So, that being said, is there anything more you wanted to, anything else we need to say about Google before we move on to some of the others?
Well, I know you just mentioned what happens when you get your account banned, and apparently they claim that they have better appeals process now, where they're more willing to listen to you and sort through your information to really see what's going on. This is what I've heard.
Yeah, I was going to say, that does a lot of good for those of us who will not ever get an account again.
Right.
So I've been falsely accused, falsely labeled, and I can't go back and fix it.
Yep, I don't know how true it is, but that's what they say.
Well, and actually, as far as timing goes, that's when a second timing issue, and this is probably a good segue into the next section, is right about that time for me was when Yahoo was starting its beta for its advertising program. Now, a little history here. The Yahoo advertising program actually used to be called Overture. Overture was a separate site, an independent site of its own, that was offering advertising on other search engines, not only Yahoo, but also MSN at the time, and CNET, and several other large portals, large sites, large search engines. They were all going through Overture. So Overture was a pretty big site at the time, and the only somewhat competitor to Google. Now, like we said earlier, Google was the big dog. You know, couldn't really even get in the same league with them, but they were close. They weren't even close. They were in the game, I should say. And it was a similar type system where you would bid. I had an Overture account, and maybe that's why I was able to get into the beta early, was because I had an Overture account at the time, which I actually canceled because Overture was charging more than Google was at the time. Google undercut them for what it cost to actually put ads out there.
What are you talking about, the minimum of 10 cents per click?
That's right. And now Google has since upped all their stuff now, and they've got a lot of minimum clicks, and I think we might come back to that a little bit later on as well when we talk about quality.
Yeah, we should come back to that, because there's a lot that you can talk about with that.
Yeah, exactly. So, let's see. Boy, man, we're already running low on time. I can't believe this. There's so much to talk about, so I guess I'm going to have to talk faster.
Already...
Damn.
Yeah, I think we took too long with the email.
Yeah, probably. Oh, well.
Goddamn Vista.
I know. We go on the Vista rant.
Could rant all day about it.
I know. We got to do a better full length interview. But anyway, stop. No more Vista. Damn it.
Okay. Right. Get back on track.
So anyway, Yahoo used to be Overture. Well, what happened is Yahoo did exactly what Microsoft, somebody was talking about earlier in their email. They bought up Overture. So Overture became Yahoo's advertising. But Overture was not the same, did not have the same functionality and control mechanisms that Google did for the advertiser. And I think maybe this would be a good spot for you to talk about, like an example of the one of the frustrating things and the lack of control that you have as far as like international ads we were talking about like on the phone earlier today.
Yeah. Some of the downfalls of the Overture system compared to AdWords, it's definitely not as advanced. Like, you can't do geo-targeting. So say that you want to serve up ads to only people in the United States or Canada. You can't do that with Overture. International people are going to see your ads. They are going to click them, and it's going to cost you money. Even though say you can't monetize their traffic, you're still going to have to pay for it, and that's something that... it's really pissing me off.
Yeah, and you know, you really do have to think of this from a business standpoint. If you're spending money on these ads, you want to obviously maximize your return on investment. You don't want to pay for people to click on your ads that can't even order from you because they're in another country or whatever other reason, or you only want to focus on one particular area or region or whatever the case may be. Now, to be fair, Google didn't have that in the very, very beginning either.
Right, but they've had it for a while.
But
now.
Yeah, they were definitely on top of it and led the pack as far as adding those sort of features and stuff on there. So Overture got bought out by Yahoo, became Yahoo Publisher Network, I think is that what it's called, or just Publisher?
No, Overture got bought out by Yahoo and it became Yahoo Search Marketing.
Yahoo Search Marketing. There you go. So that was probably 2 years ago. Truthfully, because the problem is, and a lot of people have been frustrated with Yahoo as stockholders and as a company because they bought it and they've taken so long to integrate that into Yahoo properly that a lot of the shareholders were angry because they were expecting all this big money and they're watching Google blow up to $400 or $500 a share. And they're waiting for Yahoo to roll this out. And Yahoo had it in beta for the longest time as they worked on it. Basically, long story short, they've gotten to the point now where, as of Monday, yesterday as you're listening to this, they supposedly went public officially. They're no longer just in beta. Now, I'm not positive about that because I don't have the advertising side of Yahoo.
Right. Well, what it is actually...
Okay, explain.
I researched it after. We talked about it earlier, after you called me and told me about it.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is they switched over to a new ranking model today, which is like the core feature of their new upgraded system, which is called Panama, or it's codenamed Panama.
Panama, right.
Right, and so accounts aren't actually upgraded because I'm looking at my Yahoo account right now, my Overture account, and I'm still on the old system. I've been waiting to get upgraded to the new one.
Ah.
Not going to happen until the 14th, is what they told me.
Really? See, I don't have that side of the house with the Overture, so
right.
I didn't realize that was going on.
Right. So what this really means is that they switched to basically a new algorithm for ranking ads and ad placement on search engine results. So it's not purely based on who has the highest bid for that search phrase or the keywords in that phrase.
Which is what it was in the past.
Right, which is what it's been in the past.
So if I reserve the word Hacker Magazine, and I am willing to pay 50 cents for every click-through, and say 2600 registers the same thing, they only pay 25%, my ad is going to appear above theirs.
Right, yours is going to be number one.
In the old system, but in the new system.
Right, in the new system, they rank based on quality score, which we talked about earlier, and it takes into account a lot of things. It takes into account, like, your click-through rate, like how many people are clicking your ads. And also it does take into account the price, but it also takes into account like the quality of the page that you're sending it to. Like if you were bidding on the keyword hacking, and the page you're sending it to didn't have hacking or hack or anything like that on the page, then they would think it's not relevant. So they would make you pay more. And Google's been doing the same thing for a while.
Right. And if you just a proof of that, there's going to be some variations because they have to rotate ads in and out.
Yeah.
Because you can actually cap how many at times your ad gets served up to prevent you from losing money from a bunch of click-throughs, fraud or otherwise. You can set a cap and say, if I spend more than $20 today or $20,000 for big companies, stop showing my ads. They want to limit it. So they're going to rotate other ads in and out when that happens. But, for example, go to Google, search for something, and the ads that are on the right-hand side or whatever, reload three or four times. Do a search multiple times. You'll watch them shift and move and change.
Right.
Every time you do that, you're costing someone one impression out of that cost per thousand. But
well, that's not actually... Google doesn't actually... You can't do CPM ads on search results. What it is CPM
only on
ads
sites.
Are for... If you site target a site, say you wanted to put ads on dig.com.
Right, content ads.
Right, it's not for the search engine.
What is there a term that they call that, though? Yeah, I just bad example of the cost per million. But they do rotate in and out the same way. The algorithm that does it is, I would almost assume, is definitely the same. But, the cost per million.
They do rotate them because they're trying to get the highest click-through rate, so they're getting paid more.
Right. And you'll get a finely tuned eye after a while of which ones pay more. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty good at that, aren't I? yeah, we'll back off of that.
But, it's the new algorithm, I don't know if it's going to be good or if it's going to be bad. That's the whole thing. A lot of people are complaining because a lot of people don't want it to be like Google's.
Hmm.
But... A lot of people want it to be like Google. Some people will benefit and some won't benefit. Basically, the more relevant your content is, your ads and your keywords in your ads, then the better off you're going to do.
Right.
If you're trying to buy cheap, if you're trying to get like cheap traffic, it might not happen as easily anymore.
Right. Well, if you want cheap traffic, you probably go for the cost per thousand method anyway. And hope you get click-throughs, I would imagine.
Sometimes.
I guess it all depends, I guess.
EPM advertising really isn't that big with Google, and it's not even, Yahoo doesn't even offer it.
Yeah, yet, again.
Right, yeah.
Growing as they're trying to copy Google. They realize that it works. I mean, there's no debating that. The system works, but the process is kind of messed up.
Yeah.
You know?
From what I read, as of 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Monday, Yahoo has switched over to the new results.
And it'll be interesting to see how that works.
Algorithm ranking method.
But back me up on this, Natus. Being that you and I have both used both systems from the from the content provider standpoint, serving up ads on some of our sites, for me, Yahoo buried Google and kicked dirt on it. As far as me getting better payouts. I don't know if
they definitely have better payouts now. And a lot of people are complaining that Google is paying even less now.
Yeah.
This year.
Really? Wow. See, Google's only paying a fraction of a percent, I think, maybe, or 1% out of the amount.
I don't think it's that bad, but people are only getting...
It depends on the value of the ad. If it's a 10-cent ad, you're only going to get a penny if...
Yeah.
So that's going to be lower, but all I'm saying is I definitely find better results from Yahoo.
Right, I definitely get like between 50 and $1.50 per click from some ads on Yahoo.
Some ads,
That definitely wouldn't happen as much with the same keywords on with AdSense.
Right, and it will definitely be interesting to see how much that changes, if at all, with this new system.
Yep.
So we'll keep everyone posted, I guess, on that. I'll keep analyzing that, because that's kind of interesting. Are there any others besides Google and Yahoo, though? I know Yahoo's launching it, rolling that stuff out. And day by day, they're still working on. Hopefully, they'll catch up full boat and be competitive with Google at some point. Microsoft, they're doing something as well. Is any of that public yet?
Yeah, Microsoft has a public system. It's called Microsoft Ad Center, and that's part of MSN and Live.com. So if you do searches on those engines, then you'll see Microsoft Ad Center ads. And Yahoo used to be on there. Like you said, Overture used to be
Overture,
on there.
Overture, right.
But and then Microsoft broke off and they decided to do their own thing.
Well, that's Microsoft.
Right, and as of now, Ad Center is definitely behind Yahoo and Google, but it's pretty much the third largest.
It's going to be because of the nature of it.
Right, and the big thing, too, is now that people are upgrading to IE7, that MSN, is the default homepage, so people are still going to be using MSN and everything to do their, well, noobs will be anyways, they'll be opening their browser right at their homepage, searching there. That's where Microsoft gets a lot of their traffic.
Absolutely, it's very, very convenient.
Yeah, that's why MSN is like the third most popular site on the net. Or actually, it's the second, I think.
Who is?
MSN.
Oh, I thought you said Amazon for a second there.
No, MSN because it's, the default page.
Do you know, actually, MySpace jumped up to number one at least once on the Alexa rankings at some point?
It's
not consistently, but I think it jumped up for one day above Yahoo, above Google, above MSN.
Yeah, I'm actually going there right now to see, because I think I might be. Yahoo's number one, MSN number two, Google number three, MySpace is six.
Six, okay. Yeah, it's definitely up there in the top, but it jumped up.
So Ad Center is a player in the world, the search engine marketing world, but they don't have the volume.
Don't hate the player.
Google.
Don't hate the player, hate the game. Now, I do not have the Microsoft. I have not signed up for any of that. I don't know if you have.
Yeah, no, I use it.
One thing that I did find interesting about it, though, and maybe you can confirm this then, is reading about how it worked. One of the interesting things that I found was that through their Ad Center, they're not only doing your typical text-based ads like the others are doing. I could swear that they had options on there to do advertising on MSN radio, streaming radio during the day, other types of media, video. You can have video clips play in front of some of the MSN video stuff. I'm sure that's not something that's cheap and a few cents or a few dollars like the other ads. I'm sure it's more expensive, but I thought it was neat that they even offer that.
I've never seen that in my account, actually.
Yeah, it's somewhere on the documentation I was reading about it. Maybe it's because it's such a high roller type thing. I guess maybe you have to contact them directly.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was a really interesting thing.
Google offers that for all accounts now. I mean, you can publish video ads. You can publish
really
ads. Yeah.
And do they go, because they bought YouTube? Is that where they put them, in front of YouTube?
No, they put them. I don't know if you've seen like the square AdSense boxes, but sometimes instead of those, it's like a certain size box, and instead of those being text ads, it'll be a video ad.
How much do they generally cost? Is it a bidding system, minimum?
It works the same way as the text ads do. So.
Wow, that's interesting.
I'm pretty sure you have to pay a little bit higher because people are watching like a 15-second clip instead of just reading a text ad.
Yeah, you're annoying the hell out of them. They don't automatically play, do they?
No.
Okay, good.
I'm pretty sure you have to watch like half of the video or the whole video too to get paid for it. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. But Google's been offering that for a while, and they talked about this like a week ago, this other radio show, about how they're going to be advertising. Oh wait, no. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm like off track.
Well, that's all right. Are there any others besides the big three, Google, Yahoo, and MSN? Are there any other players? Like, Overture used to be an independent player.
Well, there's AdBright.
I've heard of that one. I think I looked into that one at one point and did not pursue it very much. They're just a third-party independent.
Yep, they're a third-tier search engine. It works a lot like AdWords, and you can do a lot of cost per CPM stuff. Site targeting. You can buy like a text link on a specific site for X amount of dollars for a day, 3 days, a week, a month. And one of the biggest sites that used to have it that I remember was E-Bombs World. E-Bombs World was running AdBright ads for a long time.
Yeah, and that's a whole nother controversy.
It was really expensive to purchase like a text ad on there. It was like $250 a day.
Yeah, that's E-Bombs World's a whole other controversy we won't go into.
Yeah, but there's a lot of search engines. There's a lot of third-tier search engines.
They don't
do publishing. Like, you won't get paid for having their ads on your site, but you can advertise your stuff through their search engine.
Right, you can be an advertiser for them.
Right, you can be an advertiser.
Now, isn't there... Okay, so on the opposite side of that, there are a few others out there. AdBright, any others worth mentioning briefly, like in that come to mind?
Oh, AdBright actually has both sides, too, like AdWords.
Oh, it does, okay.
So I
What about those ones that basically they don't really, you don't have to put the ads on your site per se, but you put a tag in your code and it parses through it and like double underlines stuff, and when you hover above it,
those are called IntelliText.
IntelliText ads, yeah. There's some IntelliText places doing stuff now. What have you ever tried any of that?
To get an account with IntelliText, I read that you have to do a minimum of, like, I can't remember if it's page views or hits or unique visitors. But you have to do a minimum of like 500,000, so I don't qualify.
Hmm.
I don't have a site that do that much
yet.
You have to be a big time publisher to do stuff with them.
Hmm. And some, I don't know. Actually, you know what? I'm going to throw this out to the listeners because I'm curious. I'm sure most of our listeners have been out there surfing the interweb and know what I'm talking about. Those IntelliText ads.
Right.
Do you find Do you find those to be more or less annoying than other ads? I mean.
I find them to be more annoying.
Yeah, like if I'm hovering over the text, which I do sometimes, or trying to select it, or especially one time this happened where the URL in the site was actually a keyword that triggered an IntelliText, so I could not click on the URL to launch the site because the damn IntelliText was in the way.
Oh, that would be so annoying.
Yeah, I think that was an early bug that they may have fixed by now, but I hope anyway. But I'm curious as to what generally our listeners out there feel about that, more or less annoying, because BenRev gets that many hits easily. I'm just saying. I got to think about these things. So, all right, so fine. From the advertising side of things, that's all well and good. But from the other side, about getting paid, son, making that money, another thing that you can do is also put some affiliate links and affiliate ads on your site. And these are usually specifically site and target-based. Instead of going for the big advertising companies that we've been talking about earlier, you can go directly, for example, to Amazon.com as one of the largest. And they have a good system of support to allow you to click through. Like, for example, I don't know if we ever went through with it. We were going to put it on the Hacker Movies page that we had so that you could click on. Because to me, I think it would be a neat service to offer that if you see a movie that interests you, you give a click through that you can buy it over on Amazon. And we could put in an affiliate tag. I don't think we ever went and did it, but we could put an affiliate tag on there so that if somebody buys it, we get a percentage of kickback for any sales that come through us.
Right, and what that's called CPA advertising, cost per action.
Oh, I never heard that term before, cost per action.
That's called, so you're not getting paid per click on the ad, you're not paying or getting paid per 1,000 impressions, you're getting paid per action.
Per sale,
action
basically.
Is like defined as a sale or a lead, so if somebody buys a product or if somebody signs up for a service,
a lead can be kind of vague.
What's that?
I said defining a lead may be kind of vague, but yeah.
A lead would be like leading someone to a new service, like leading someone to sign up with BenRev.com or something.
But if you're
signing up with Netflix.
Right. If your company, if it's something you can electronically measure, but what if a lead is they have to call an 800 number to register for an account or something? They have no way of tracking that electronically, so that's not. They probably wouldn't treat that the same. That wouldn't fall under an action.
It's hard to even make a program that.
Right, exactly.
That because as an advertiser, you wouldn't want.
Right, it's basically.
You feel like you could get screwed over pretty easy.
A cost per measurable action, and that's not something that's measurable.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Well, before we cut out here, we've still got a few minutes, 10 minutes left. Let's talk about. All that being said, we've talked about how to put ads on your site. Let's talk about how you get those ads seen. How do you make that money, son? How do you get your site to get visits to your site, which, again, could go on to a whole other show, but briefly, I mean, I guess the only term here to mention is basically search engine optimization. So can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, search engine optimization is optimizing your site to get a lot of organic search results, to get traffic through people going to Google and searching for a topic and you ranking on that first page of Google. You'll get some traffic if you rank on other pages, but your goal with search engine optimization should be to rank on that first page as one of the first results.
So how do you do that in 20 words or less?
20 words or less, if possible. Search engine optimization itself could be a whole show.
It is, and there are just tons and tons of sites out there to help that. But I think we can.
Search engines have gotten so complex that there's just so many things to do.
You're right. There are certain things you can do to generally increase your visibility on search engines.
The number one thing I would say, though, would be relevant links.
Right. That is
people, if you want people to search for, to go to Google and search for hacking and have BinRev come up as the number one result, you would want a lot of links all over the internet. From other computer security-related or hacking sites that say hacking and link to binrev.com.
Yeah, that is to say that the actual word hacking behind it has an anchor that's href to www.binrev.com. So it associates the word hacking with that link, with that site. So, you have your missions. Everybody go out there and hook BinRev up. Get us up there, son. We actually have a pretty decent SEO. And it's unintentional. It just worked out that way that people link back to us, which is very cool. So anybody that wants to link back to us is definitely cool. And when people do search for a lot of hacking topics, they are finding us. That's also why we're growing exponentially again, because the more people we get, the better our SEO is, the higher we climb into the search engines, which means the more people we get, and it keeps happening over and over again. So pretty good stuff. Now, I do want to cover... I guess some myths or some things that I know people are thinking right now, probably talking about in IRC right now, different ideas that I'm sure many people have about gaming the system. You're not the first to try to think of this. You're not the first person to think that there's a way to commit click fraud and not get caught. All right? So I thought we'd go through some of those if you'll indulge me a little bit, Natus. Such as?
Are you talking about with search engine optimization? Are you talking about getting paid, making money?
Just generally. If there's something else you wanted to say about search engine optimization, certainly. But I was thinking more along the lines of those people who are thinking how they can open a Google account and make some money by trying to cheat the system. Like, for example, because we mentioned about the BinRev ads, and because we don't have time, I don't think, to go into search engine optimization too much. It was brought up in, I think we should move on to some of the myths and get those out of the way. It was brought up in the forums that we might have to go to some site of advertising on the site to help pay for the new server. And a couple of the things that were mentioned in there were from people who definitely are well-intentioned and it's appreciated the ideas, but obviously don't know how these systems work, and which is kind of what made me want to do this topic. For example, I know someone said, and I don't want to embarrass or single anybody out. I mean, obviously, people can go to the forums and see, but one of these myths that a lot of people believe is creating a page on your site somewhere and just putting 50 ads on that page and telling everybody to go click on them. You know, before you hit the forums, go over to this page, click on my ads for 2 minutes, and then come back to the forums, and that way we'll make money. Will that work, Natus, or will that not work?
It's a little bit more complicated than that. With Google, it won't work specifically because Google only allows you to place maximum of three ads on your page.
Same with Yahoo.
Actually, Yahoo doesn't have a limit.
Nope, Yahoo added a limit this week.
Did they really?
Last week, yeah. January 28th, I think it was.
Oh, I didn't know. Is it three?
Three.
Oh, okay. Because they used to not have that. It used to be pretty vague. It was like, as long as it's not too many.
Well, I mean, even with Google Ads, their limit is three, but certain people get special privileges. Isn't that right, Mr. Calacanis?
Yeah, right. You have to be like a premium.
Exactly. You can make them that money. They will bend over and make a special case for you.
Yep. But, all right, so that other question, you can't really do that. Not with PPC ads, pay-per-click ads. Not with CPM ads either. You could do that with affiliate ads, though. You could have as many affiliate ads you want.
But that's why a lot of those affiliate ads are going to the cost per action, like you're talking about, so that the clicks don't really do anything.
Yeah, it's actually turning into a mixture.
Right. So that wouldn't work. So, A, loading a bunch of ads on your actual pages, to use my good friend Mr. C there, all of his sites, all of his blog sites, he loads them down with ads.
Yep.
Now, he gets away with it.
Tons of ads.
Yeah, he gets away with it because he's getting so many hits or whatever, they give him special treatment. But that's an exception to the rule.
So just also, it's because, I mean, his pages aren't like, his pages are long. You know, his pages aren't just, you can scroll down forever on Engadget.
Well, yeah. Engadget or Hackaday, for example, you'll notice you'll see more than the minimum number of ads.
Yeah.
Some of these advertising companies also have no compete clause. They don't let you use their ads. Google will not. Is this true, Anatis, that you can't have Google and Yahoo on your page together? If you have one, you have to have one or the other. They will not let you use it if you have the other person's ads.
Google actually just changed theirs. You can't rotate between Yahoo. You used to be able to rotate between Yahoo and Google ads or anything else that looked like Google AdSense ads.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have. Like MySpace, for an example, used to rotate ads. They would show Google ads, and they would show Yahoo YPN ads. But now, if you're going to do AdSense ads on your site, you have to exclusively do AdSense ads. You can't, it's not even on the same page throughout your site the whole time. You can't rotate between Google and Yahoo.
Yep. All right, so loading down tons of ads on your pages, that's, unless you're an exception like the ones we mentioned earlier, you're not going to be able to do that because they have rules against it. So you can't just load down your pages with a bunch of ads and little content. You can't make a site or a page on your site that's nothing but ads that, like, exclusively go here first and click through this and then come to our forums. You also can't make a site that, and I know a lot of people have seen these probably with the Prawn sites or the Ware sites or whatever that says, to download this file, click this ad, or click three ads on this page, or something like that. You're not allowed, and back me up on this, Natas, a lot of people don't know this. It is in the terms of service, you are not allowed to solicit people to click on your ads. You can't even use the word support. You can't say, please support our site by clicking on these ads. Isn't that true?
Yep.
Because you got to remember, from the other side, people are paying for advertising, and if you say support us by clicking on the site, they know that you're begging people to click on ads only for support with no intent of buying or having any actual interest. And that's not fair to the people paying for advertising. So it's kind of understandable. So a lot of people don't realize that there is a rule. You cannot say on your site, please click on our ads to support our site. Because you are basically asking them to commit click fraud in a kind of a roundabout way, I guess. That's probably the way they look at it. So you cannot do that. Another thing you can't do, and Natas and I were talking about this earlier, this is something that was in my Google AdWords and some other stuff I've talked about on previous shows a long time back, was making fake sites with little or no content with the only goal being to increase your SEO, your search engine optimization, get that site high so that you can generate more traffic to it just to put ads on it. To use a specific example, in my Google AdWords, I talked about the highest paying keyword, or one of the highest paying, if not always regularly the highest paying, of course, Natas, is?
Mesothelioma.
Mesothelioma, lung cancer, or not just lung cancer, I guess it's any kind of cancer from asbestos.
Yep.
Mostly lung cancer. You can't go out there and just make up a fake site and write an article that says mesothelioma is great. I like to write mesothelioma. Don't you love mesothelioma? You can't go out there and make a site that's not real or not legitimate. Again, in the early days, everything being so automated and people aren't going to go out there and check every single site, well, because of click fraud and because of the possibility and especially the valuable keywords like that, they are in fact cracking down on that, are they not?
Yeah, they're definitely cracking down on that.
So you would have to be very convincing. You'd have to put a lot of time and effort into making your, quote, fake site look real. You'd have to spend a lot of time to make it very real and convincing, and you probably might as well make a real site if you're going to go that route.
Right. What those are called, they're called made for AdSense sites.
Well, yeah, because AdSense being the dominant, but it obviously would work with any of the advertising sites.
Right, but that's what they're referred to as across the Internet.
Gotcha. Let's see, other myths. Okay, first of all, most people may or may not know this. I guess some people may or may not know this, that if you think you're going to go and click on your own ads because you can use Tor, wrong answer. Natas, why can't they use Tor?
Because Tor has some... actually, it's not Tor, it's Privoxy, I believe, that has something built in that removes the ads, right?
No, it's Tor. If you go through Tor... As a matter of fact, let's give it a test.
I talked to the creator of Tor last year. I went to, out to dinner with him, with Lance and So I went out to dinner with him, and I asked him that question. And he said it has nothing to do with Tor. It has to do with the built-in program Provoxy that's bundled with it.
I'm pretty sure that all Tor exit nodes are known and blocked at this point in time.
Okay,
and they
that's
can tell.
Probably true, too.
Yeah, so they can tell.
But they specifically, he said that Tor didn't do anything to block them, that it's something of Provoxy.
No, Provoxy will block them on the user end. If you go to a site and you're not seeing your own ads for some reason, it may be because Provoxy is blocking them out. But
yeah.
I did a lot of experimenting back when I was doing the Google AdSense stuff, and if you just visit a site with Tor in any, even with Provoxy turned off or with, well, anyway, like Tor Park or something like that, it knows that you're coming through Tor, and if you try to click, first of all, it won't show you because of Provoxy, but if you do get them to show up anyway, it's not going to count that as a real click. Anything that it can tell is coming from a Tor exit node, it's not going to, it's going to click, it's going to flag that as a fraudulent click and not pay you. Even if it does show up in the short term.
Okay.
So that also may be a reason that a lot of people, now that I think about that, I never put two and two together until just now on the show live. What a moron. I wonder if the fact that a lot of us use Tor in general for our web surfing, for the anonymity, if we've ever clicked on an ad through Tor, maybe that did set off flags thinking we're committing click fraud when in fact none of us were. I wonder if that could be what they were doing. They never released or gave you any explanation of what their accusations were.
Yeah.
Interesting. But any kind of Tor or proxies, a lot of those things are known, and if they come through any of those, they will not pay you for it. So that's something
proxies
else.
Proxies will work, but hit or miss, you know.
Right, exactly, yeah. And the only other thing is just writing a script in general of any kind. You could certainly write a script that goes out there and hits your own ads or something like that. It's a little tricky. They try to avoid making a URL stat, anything static that'll make it easy for you to script. But I do believe, I would argue that it can certainly be scripted still, and if you do it right, it could be done. You got to be careful with the script, because if you start brute forcing, it becomes obvious, and you're busted. You can't have any kind of pattern in there. And I know, actually, my good friend Ash this night went through a long talk on this, and he incorporated a lot of this stuff into his into some scripts that he was working on. Writing a timer, a random timer in there, so fine, you don't want to brute force it, that's fine, but you got to have some sort of timing mechanism to make it come back to a site. Any type of regularity at all is going to be noticeable. If they see a hit from a certain IP or a certain set of IPs or to a certain site's advertisements every 10 minutes on the dot, that's going to be noticeable. So you've got to make it so that it randomizes. So 10 minutes plus or minus random 1 to 5 more minutes and seconds, and have it rotate, or plus or minus 30 minutes so that it really looks even more random, comes from different proxies, things like that. I do think it can still be scripted is my point. Don't want to get into too much detail there.
Yeah. Another thing that they would definitely look for with that is they would definitely see that your click-through ratio is, like, going through the roof. I mean, click-through ratio is usually really low.
Good
usually
point.
Like 0.5%.
Yeah, if it's below 0.5%, they consider it a bad ad. Anything above 0.5 gets your quality score starts climbing.
Sorry, what did you say?
A 0.5 or below is not so good, but 0.5 or above is good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you wouldn't, if you were trying to, I can't speak. If you're trying to commit click fraud and, you know, you just visited your site 100 times, out of those 100 times you clicked an ad, your click-through ratio would be 100%, and that would be just unheard of. Like,
of course,
they would know something was going on there.
Well, but then you combine that with all the people that are browsing your site and not clicking, it'll come back down somewhat, but it probably would be noticeable.
Yeah, it would definitely.
The bigger your site is, the more you could get away with it.
You would have to add in a lot of fake traffic.
Yeah, just a lot of, just the economics, the math of the whole thing works out. But you know what? We are running low on time, so unless there's any, you got any closing thoughts before we move into the shouts? Or do you want to just go ahead and move into the shouts?
I just want to say that the internet is one big hustle.
One big hustle? It's not tubes?
No, it's a big hustle.
It's not a big dump truck?
The internet is, possibilities are endless.
We need some hustle theme music now.
Word. We need Rick Ross. Every day I'm hustling.
Every day I'm hustling. All right, am I going to get sued for singing that now? It's copyright violation? All right, shouts from me. How about I'm going to give shouts to everybody up at ShmooCon conference coming up in March. So ShmooCon.org, go check them out. And to the Droops family, hope they're all doing well right now. Any other shouts from you?
Shout out to those people, and shout out to everybody in BinRev and DDP.
Woot! Pound BinRev on IRC, represent! Site of the week is very easy. It's searchmarketing.yahoo.com. Go check it out. Read up yourself as far as what Yahoo's new offerings are going to be, and let's see if they can compete with the big G. Email of any kind, feedback, flames, hate mail, naked pictures of females only, to radio@binrev.com. And our closing music this week is a little song called Hip Hop is an Endangered Species. It is from Chronomicon, not to be confused with Infonomicon, Chronomicon. So, Natus, thank you for being on the show, my friend. It's been too long, but
yeah, thanks.
We will tell everybody that we will see them next week. Same Mac time.
Same Mac channel?
Yeah, I don't know. I was trying to be different. I failed.
Or, that the purpose of this
or maybe like we get him in endangered species and then we could kill it. That'd be cool.